How can you see into my eyes like open doors, leading you down into my core, where I become so good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Trim Radio Network, and this is Offsides. And guess what, folks? We're down to the last show of the season here coming up. Next week is it. And we have had some great, great games. And I'll tell you what, they have been absolutely stupendous all through the college football season. And you know what? It comes down to this. The right four teams, well, they were picked. I mean, it doesn't get any better than what it's been. And, everybody thought the Buckeyes were going to get blown out. Hey, they won that game. The scoreboard didn't show it, but you know what? I'm not mad at all. You lost the game by 1 point, 42-41 to Georgia, who's an excellent, excellent team. No wonder they're the number one team in the country. Ruggles missed a kick. It was that simple. And you know what? The guy is wonderful. He has been on par his entire college career and saved us and helped us through many a time. So you know what? You can't be disappointed in him whatsoever. One bad kick. It just happened to be that time. And Noah, I hope that you you have a wonderful career in the pros. I really do. So God bless you. Keep your head up, you know, held up high. Great game. So either way, great game. Couple bad calls, you know, in the game, but that's football. I mean, it's football. That's what it is. So you go with what you got. Bad calls. The targeting ones, I don't know what they're going to do about that rule. They might have to change it. And that clearly was targeting to me. I looked at it probably around 10 times, and I was just like, I don't know what that definition of that is. I just don't know. So if that wasn't targeting, I don't know what was. And the same thing in the Michigan game. You're going to have bad calls. And unfortunately, that's it is what it is. But still, what a great game. I mean, it was absolutely fantastic. We just felt just that short right there. And oh, man. I'll tell you what. Definitely that was your national championship game, in my opinion. Do I think TCU is going to give Georgia a game? I think Georgia's going to be prepared. And I do not see TCU upsetting Georgia. I just don't see it. But you know what? I've been wrong on a bunch of games. I did not see Tulane upsetting USC. I did not see Penn State upsetting Utah. And here, you know, and it happened, you know. So let's start off with some of the games. Games I expected. Orange Bowl, December 30th. Tennessee 31, Clemson 14. I knew that was coming. A lot of people were like, oh, they don't have Hooker. You know, they don't have Hyatt. They don't have this and that. And I said, that ain't going to make a difference. They're just a better team than Clemson, period. And guess what? They were. And they rolled them. So 31-14 Tennessee, orange against orange. And, well, congratulations, Tennessee, the Vols. The Sugar Bowl. This one was a no-brainer. Alabama 45, Kansas State 20. I saw that coming. There just wasn't a doubt in my mind about that. And, you know, I thought it was impressive. Alabama looked good all around. So they looked real good. Next one, Fiesta Bowl. TCU 51, Michigan 45. I didn't see that one coming. I really thought Michigan was going to be able to really kind of roll them over. They did not. So, you know, it just goes to show you. And, you know, some days some teams can get pumped up for games and some teams can't. And that's, you know, that's what you had with the Michigan-Ohio State game. Ohio State had a bad day. Weren't prepared. And I don't think that they'll make that mistake again. So this is the first time that Ryan Day has lost twice to one team. I don't see that happening again. I think he's learned that lesson. And I think the team also paid the price because everybody was, like, very disappointed. But we'll be back next year. So, and of course, we know the score. Georgia 42, Ohio State 41. And then we get on over here to the Cotton Bowl. Tulane 46, USC 45. And I know that stings for 1 point. But it is what it is. So, I never agreed with who the Heisman went to. I did not think that it should have went there. I think Henderson Hooker should have deserved it. But, you know, Hendon Hooker should have had that for Tennessee. But I don't make that choice. So, Rose Bowl, Penn State 35, Utah 21. You know, Franklin is, it's very funny. He's, the two games that he lost were to two very elite teams in the Big Ten, Ohio State and Michigan. You have to give Penn State a lot of credit. They're a tough, tough team and a very good team, very talented team. So a surprise, but not a surprise. And, of course, now we have the national championship Georgia coming up with TCU. So I see all of you see my grandson behind me here who is coming over here while Daddy is doing his show. And hang on there, little man. I can see we have just finished up our shower and are up here and we're all happy. I think Georgia is going to be prepared for TCU. I think that I'm looking at it now probably as a 7 to 10 point spread. TCU's got a lot to deal with. Georgia is an excellent, excellent football team. And Stetson Bennett is incredible quarterback. I mean, to me, him just walking on is just crazy. You know, where was he? And, you know, that kind of talent right there, wow, that kid is something else. And he's a pleasure to watch, too. He has a real passion for the game. So we're going to see how they do. You know, but you can't count out Max. You just can't count him out. You can't count out Sonny Dykes either. You know, for coming up with a great game plan. So I think it's going to be, but you had the right four teams in. There was no question about it. Very close games, both games, very excellent games, and probably the most enjoyable one that I've seen since the onstart of it. And then we're going to be getting into this next, hey, I'm busy. Get out of here, kiddo. Then we're going to be getting into where we're going to have a 12-team playoff is what they are saying. So it is looking that way, and that'll be very, very interesting. I think that that you're going to have a true champion that's going to come out of it. The playoffs are definitely going to push that, and we're going to see how it goes. Some things that we need to get a handle on is definitely the NIL, the name and image likeness, and have a cap. And I think that what you're seeing here, some of these kids are definitely running after the money. And I can understand it. They come in from rough areas, maybe, depressed areas. And they need that money. They want to help out their families and stuff like that. I understand that. I get that. But at what point, how much is too much? And are we laying that kind of money on these kids that are so young? Can they make wise decisions with it? Can they make good choices? Or is this going to handcuff them in the future? And create problems for them, make them irresponsible. I've always been a firm believer that if you go to a school, you get a scholarship, you get a free ride, and you're playing a sport, it's incumbent upon you to graduate, to have something that you can fall back on. And, you know, if you leave early and go to the NFL and chase the money, rather than finishing your career, or finishing your responsibility to the school, getting your degree and everything, you have to pay it back. You have to pay it back. And then what do you do with the NIL money, name, image, and likeness money, if you're not meeting expectations? I mean, we're digging ourselves a hole here, and we have to be able to overcome some of the missteps that we're making. I think that we threw this out there. It was loosey-goosey, and now we're in trouble, guys, and it's only going to get worse. And some schools, just they can't put out the kind of money that other schools can, so we need to cap it. It's okay to get paid, but I think there has to be a set cap so that it's no longer, oh, well, he's going to pay me so much more, or they're going to pay me so much more, and you're going to have one school that's going to have all the kids because they can afford to pay more. That's, to me, that's not fair. You know, if you cap it, then every school, then it comes down to the recruiting, then it comes down to, okay, this is where I want my degree from. This is where we need to keep it about education first. Football, they're not pros, okay? They're not professional football players. They want to be professional football players. You're not there yet. You haven't proven yourself yet. Yes, you play great in high school. You might even play great in college, but you still have a responsibility. And I don't think tossing money at it is the answer for it. Now, you guys can call in if you want to agree or disagree with me, 803-866-1667. But I think that it's, if you leave early, you pay the money back. You open that scholarship up for somebody else that doesn't have the opportunity for that scholarship. And I think it's important to do that. It's the same as giving back. And, you know, if these guys pay this kind of money to the kids and they don't pan out, you know, it's your loss. Don't throw that kind of money around. I mean, we have to say how much is enough eventually. I mean, it really comes down to that. So it's going to be interesting. Very scary day yesterday. Buffalo and the Bengals. And we're getting off college here for a minute. But boy, Hamlin, from what they're saying is he made that hit at a time that his heart was at, he didn't have a bad heart. It was just the arrhythmic of the heart was hit just a fluke at this precise time that created this problem. So they canceled the game. It's not going to be held this week, and rightfully so, and they should have, and I was proud of them for doing that. But let's pray, everyone, you know, say a prayer for Hamlin and his family and all those people around him, because, boy, is that scary. And to go through, you know, his teammates and the other team, too, heartbreaking. Nobody wants to see anybody injured. Nobody wants to see anybody hurt. And unfortunately, it was just a fluke. And praying for a speedy recovery, and let's just pray he's going to be okay. Back to the college discussion. Is the NIL, are these schools, what was the difference of this and back in the 70s, remember, when they started saying and making all these rules? These kids were promised, hey, listen, your dad works on a farm, he needs a tractor, we'll get him that tractor, you come play for us. And then all of a sudden they stepped in and said, you're violating NCAA rules, and it turned around and the school was punished, the student was punished. And now here we are saying, okay, name, image, likeness. And we're doing essentially the same things, and except for the school itself isn't given the money. So it's either the alums or whoever else that, you know, where they're coughing up the money. But again, I go back to the question, what about the schools that don't have that kind of money? How do they ever expect to get good players in there then? Or compete against these other schools that have gobs and gobs and gobs of money. Kind of like my coffee. I have gobs and gobs of coffee. To me, we have to have a level playing ground. So it definitely needs to be capped. And I think that this transfer portal, it made, even for me, it made the college picks so much more harder because you didn't know, okay, if these guys enter the transfer portal, are they done with that school at that time? Are they still participating in the bowl game? I think they're done at that time. Or if they, you know, say they're going to declare for the draft, are you playing the game or are you not playing the game? Are you saying you're going to the draft afterward? Or I think the second that you say I'm going into the draft, you're done. You're out. You can't play at that point. So, you know, you have to make your choice. But we had so many kids that were opting out. Now we have this transfer portal to where the kids are just, well, they're leaving and going to a different school. And the rules have changed on that too. Used to be you had to wait a year, and now you don't. Now you get that one free one, and you can go and you can play. So it makes it so hard to even, you know, see how the games are going to go and coaches moving about and everything else. Hey, you know, we saw that too. And a lot of them, some of them stayed, and they were going to coach the team the rest of the way through, and some of them said, I'm gone. I mean, do we wait until the end of the bowl season and then begin everything? Is that enough time? Does that give the coaches, does that give the kids enough time? You know, I think it's hard for the coaches because they're trying to set up game plans, trying to decide, okay, what are we going to do? And yet you don't know what your student's going to do or what students are coming in. And then you're fighting the recruiting trail too. So I think there's a lot of mistakes that we need to correct and they need to fix it. We want to keep this on a college level, not a professional football level. Because once college goes pro, it's I'm not a big pro fan at all. I just don't see the excitement that I see out of the college. I'm a huge college fan. And I love watching, you know, the college football season. My favorite time of year, man, from fall all the way to Christmas and just afterward, favorite time of year. And that's because I'm always looking forward to college football. With pros, I mean, you always have to worry about strikes. You always got to worry about, well, they're not paying me this. And then it's the single show. I'm the best player on the team. There's a lot of I in pro football that you don't have in college football. You still have more, we're a team, we did this together. I want to thank my teammates and everything else. In the pro, these guys are making, you know, so much money and everything, it's an eye game. And that's what it is. And they're, a lot of times, I hate to say it, selfish, spoiled, entitled, and their immaturity bleeds through. And yeah, they're still just kind of like kids. But do we want that spilling over into the college ranks? You know, no one wants to see that. You know, I don't want to see that at all. So I'm hoping that they correct a lot of these problems. I love the playoff that's going to happen. I think that, you know, the conference realignments now are definitely going to make a factor. Is Ohio State done? Now that they have UCLA and USC coming on board in 2024, do they go after Oregon? Do they go after Washington? What about Utah? Which teams are going to want to go and come into the Big Ten? That's a lot of travel. Is it lucrative? Yes, it is, you know, especially after that huge, huge media contract. So it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be interesting to see where everything goes. You know, does the SEC eventually grab onto TCU? You know, and who do they take with them from the Big 12? So let's say they want to grab two more. So they've already got Texas, and we already know that, and they've got Oklahoma. Do they grab TCU? Do they grab Oklahoma State? Do they grab Texas Tech? It's going to be interesting. And, you know, it's the same with the Big Ten. Out of the Pac-12, who do they take? Do they take Washington? Do they take Oregon? And then what do you do with all the other teams? What conferences are going to be created? What about the ACC? Where's that go? I mean, it's going to be interesting. So does the ACC start to build up, or is that conference going to be ripped to shreds and you're going to have two to three major conferences? What does the Big 12 do? What happens to the Pac-12? If the Pac-12 loses two more, what happens to it? You know, does one conference get killed off while the teams join the Pac-12? It's going to be interesting. So a lot of changes are happening. But we need to get a handle on things as we go along, and definitely get a cap on that NIL. I just, to me, that's taking a lot of the fun out of it. So they need to do that. But here's what we got. We got the game coming up next week, and that's going to be a great game. So I do expect Georgia to win by 7 or more, and they're going to be your national championship team. But we will see, because TCU, they just, you know, they don't give up. They don't give up, and they might surprise everybody and just beat them. So, you know, every team has a bad day. TCU had it in the championship game against Kansas State, but then they knocked off Michigan. And Ohio State had it in, you know, the game before, the week before, with Michigan. So is it indicative on how well the team is or how good the team is? Love to have that game back again. We'll get it next year. And where does Harbaugh go after this? I mean, this really was the year for Michigan. They had all the chess pieces in places, you know, in place, and had everything ready to go, and fell short. So what happens to Harbaugh now? Does he go pro? I kind of think that maybe he would. And if you remember his last stint, he didn't do bad. So it'll be interesting. I think he's getting to that point in time to where maybe it is time to go pro. He's completed a couple of goals. He beat Ohio State twice. He got into the CFP. He got in there twice. Both times were unsuccessful, but he still accomplished that goal. Or does he stick around and try to get the title? And Kenny, I mean, so much talent and so much parity out there. Will Michigan be able to recover after this year? A lot of seniors, so will they be able to do it? And you have a lot of young teams out there with just gobs amount of talent. That are going to be something new. Look out for Tennessee next year. Anybody who didn't believe me, and I said Milton was a fantastic quarterback, and he was from Michigan, by the way, and went to Tennessee. I'm going to tell you, the kid can throw. He can throw. So that's going to be a crazy good football team, and as you saw against Clemson, they have young talent. So they're going to be good. You know, Clemson, that's a young quarterback who got tossed into that mix. So Kublik, he's going to be there for a few years, and I think that's their future. Where did the Buckeyes go? Did they stick with McCord? They've got a few other right behind him. So it's going to be very interesting on the quarterback battle up there. And, you know, Alabama's going to be loaded. We already know that. So Bama, they'll probably be the preseason number one pick. So people might not want to hear that, but that's the bottom line. They just have loads and loads of talent. So, and when does Saban hang it up? When is he done? So this was the first year that I saw where they kind of had, you know, they took it on the chin twice, LSU and by Tennessee. And Tennessee outplayed him this year. No excuses. They outplayed him. And they won that game fair and square. So, is there a little bit of weakness in the armor there? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I can't wait till next year. Oh, man. There's too much time in between the games because college football is just so much fun. But we will find out. Oh, y'all see my cup, right? That's a Anyway, I had a blast with you guys this year. And John Patrick didn't get to join us on here at all, but we will have him. Maybe he'll join me for the day after the national championship. We're going to go over the top 25, the final rankings. We'll see what it is. We'll see what those final rankings are. And how do you know? I mean, you've got number one and, you know, number three playing for the national title. Does number two automatically get the second ranking? I don't know, man. I just don't know. I mean, if I were to rank the teams today, I would say Georgia number one, maybe Ohio State. That was a great game. It came down to what if Ruggles hit that field goal? I mean, a lot of, you know, I think Ohio State beat them kind of all game long. It came down to a field goal that, you know, could have been made, but it's just a bad kick, got overexcited or whatever, it happens. But that game was Ohio State's to give. They won that game. So mad respect for Georgia. Whew, what a team. What a team. So, and always mad respect for my Buckeyes. So would it be? Let's say Georgia goes ahead and they beat TCU by 7 to 10 points. Is it Ohio State right after Georgia, or is it Georgia, TCU right away? And then who? Michigan, Ohio State? I think your top four are going to be your top four. But I don't know. It's good. I'm not so sure. We're going to have to wait and see how that plays out. Anyway, guys, catch us next week for the final broadcast here of Offsides till, well, September 2nd. And we're going to know a lot more. Actually, the week before, we're going to talk about who's who and where we think they are doing the preseason. So we're going to get on that. But stick around, message the page. And as always, it was an honor and a privilege to host this and get to talk about everything. So let's hope for a good national championship. Go Dogs. And that's all I got to say to that. So, but until then, we'll talk to you guys later. Thank you for tuning in to Trim Radio Network. We have a lot of fun here. So make sure you tune in more often. Take Point 22 will be on tonight. So we'll see you guys right around 8 o'clock. Okay? And Slobberknocker is not on tonight. Austin has worked his little heart out and done a bunch of doubles. So he is resting. And he is off tonight. So I'm sure otherwise he would have covered more about Hamlin and everything that happened, some of the scores, who's in and who's not for professional football. But anyway, I'll leave that to him. We're going to have more next week for sure on that. So join him next week at the regular time. Anyway, God bless, guys, and we'll talk to you later on tonight. And as always, it's an honor and a privilege. Take care.
See into my eyes like open.